During the Apollo 11 mission, Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon, reported seeing light flashes. So imagine that you're in space and you go to sleep. You close your eyes and try to sleep, and suddenly with your eyes closed, you see flashes like explosions, like fireworks that appear out of nowhere. And NASA was very concerned about that.
Hello, and welcome back to Free of Charge. We're a podcast by Canada's premier nuclear science and technology organization, Canadian Nuclear Laboratories, and we're recording from our Chalk River site, which sits on the traditional unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe peoples. I'm your newest host, Danny Penaloza, and I'm a communications coordinator for our science and technology file here at Chalk River Labs. Today, we're talking about the brain. More specifically, we're talking about growing miniature brains in lab. With the help of CNL's new radiobiology section head, we're going to cover how our radiobiologists grow these types of simplified organs in our labs, why these models are better for studying the biological effects of ionizing radiation, and who this type of research benefits. Hi, Marcelo. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
So before we jump into this project that you're leading here at Chalk River Labs, could you tell us a bit about your career leading up to this point?
I was born in Argentina, and I got my degree as MD, medical doctor, after my PhD degree in radiation biology and neuroscience. So since very little I was passionate about space, and so my interest was focused on understanding what are the risks of astronauts when they go to space. So that brought me a lot of interest regarding what is the effect of radiation on the brain. So I worked for NASA for many years in the United States, leading some projects to understand the effect of space radiation on the brain. And after I moved to California to work in cancer research, trying to use a space radiation like protons to treat cancer. Now I'm very happy the new section in radiation biology, and we are very interested to study this again of space radiation on the brain using a very, very special in vitro model.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Marcelo. So it sounds like you've said, you've always been interested in the brain as well as space. And this project you're going to tell us about today definitely doesn't stray from those interests. Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, we will start a new project in CNL and try to develop a new technique of in vitro cells to study the effect of radiation called organoids. Usually when we study radiation, we use what is called two-dimensional cells in culture, basically a monolayers of cell in a petri dish that is very useful to understand certain basic problems in radiation biology. But it's very difficult to extrapolate these results in this very simplistic model to a real life like us. So in this case, we use animals. Usually, we for many, many years, radiation research biologists use animals as a test model. But in the future, we will reduce the utilization of animals for this study. So we need to find something in between that have simplicity and also at the same time is complex as the real lives. So that intermediate stage is done by creating or developing organoids, three-dimensional cellular structures that are very similar to the real thing in our system. So this project will provide the technologies and the protocols to develop different kind of organoids. And in my particular interest, brain organoids, but our team also will develop cardiovascular organoids, heart, intestinal organoids, and other organoids for our researchers and researchers outside the CNL.
Okay, so brain organoids and just other organoids in general, these miniature simplified 3D models of organs sound just incredible. So how do you grow these things?
Oh, very interesting. So new techniques in the last 15 years were developed to obtain stem cells. So these stem cells are very undifferentiated, very primitive cells that if you treat it in certain conditions, you can steer the destiny of these cells to create different organs. In particular, now we can obtain stem cells from humans for a biopsy of the skin, structure. We are a little piece of skin. We dissect the skin and we obtain this very, very particular cell population, and we reprogram the cells. So we obtain the cells, we expose them to a cocktail of chemicals, and those cells are steering to certain tissues. Could be brain, could be kidney, lung, liver, and we can develop techniques to these cells to grow in a three-dimensional manner. So basically, they reproduce the development of organoids, and eventually we can create full functional tissues like a brain, liver, or heart, a beating heart. So this is an incredible tool to understand what are the effects of radiation, in particular low doses of radiation, on humans.
And so at CNL, are we specifically making human organoids, or are we making mice organoids? What does that look like?
Yeah, both actually. Dr. Laxo is already working with mice studies, but Dr. Sebastian and myself will use human stem cells that are purchased commercially available. We can purchase in ATCC and other companies. So it's a very, very well-known and available cell line.
Okay, that's really, really cool. So you've kind of talked about this a little bit already, but why are we using organoids in the first place? Like, what is so great about using this type of model to study the biological effects of radiation?
It's a very, very important question. So in radiation research and in other areas of science, we cannot use human subjects to do our experiments, right? So we can use human exposed and radiation therapy, for example, but they are not really similar to what we are interested to study. So what are the alternatives? Well, we use animals, study animals. So by the animal studies, although give us incredible important information, is not like a human. There's a big scale gap between what the effect of radiation on animals and humans. You always have this problem. So what is a potential solution? Well, if we can develop in a petri dish a human tissue that resembles the real tissue in humans, that will be the solution, because we can control it. It's a human tissue, function like a human tissue, and we don't use animals, okay? And we don't use very, very simplistic monitor two-dimensional cells. So it's a win-win situation in terms of research.
Definitely. Okay. So where did the focus on how brains specifically react to space radiation come from? Like, why are you specifically interested in the biological effects on the brain?
So a wonderful question. So why I'm here in CNL and why I'm interested on the effect of radiation on the central nervous system? Well, it's a long story, but let me make a very short story. During the Apollo 11 mission, Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon, reported seeing light flashes. So imagine that you're in space and you go to sleep. You close your eyes and try to sleep, and suddenly with your eyes closed, you see flashes like explosions, like fireworks that appear out of nowhere. And NASA was very concerned about that. So after many, many years and trying to understand what happened, it was defined that cosmic rays, space radiation, hitting the brain or the eyes of the astronauts produced these light flashes. So that triggered a concern. So if the astronauts see these light flashes, what are the effect of radiation, space radiation, on the brain function? So that triggered my interest, and that steered my career to study the effect of radiation. So many, many years later, I worked for NASA studying these problems, and I think there's a lot of gaps in the knowledge in how radiation, cosmic radiation, can affect the brain function. So that's the reason we are working in these three-dimensional organoids.
That's system. Fascinating. Yeah. We've talked about this a bit in an earlier episode with Soji and Holly, like mm-hmm. you've said. But can you remind us of what makes space radiation unique compared to that on Earth?
So when you go to space, there are kind of three important factors that can affect the health of people. One is space radiation, the other is microgravity, and the other is confinement, how the psychological stress induced by being in a spacecraft for long term can affect function. But only with the space radiation is the only situation in which you can do very little. The only thing you can do is go faster to your objective, have a shielding, but always will be there. No matter what you do, space radiation will hit astronauts on their way to Mars or International Space Station or the Moon. So, and the issue is that space radiation is very different to what we're used to deal with. So the conventional radiation is called gamma rays or X-rays. Why is that? Well, because space radiation is called particle radiation. And the conventional radiation is electromagnetic radiation. It's electromagnetic is a wave of energy that travels in space. But cosmic radiation, like a cosmic rays or protons, are particles, like a bullet. Imagine a bullet that travels space at speed close to the speed of light. They have a mass and they have a charge. So these particles can go through matter, like shielding walls of a spacecraft, and will traverse a body of an astronaut at a certain frequency. So we are concerned that this special radiation produces an effect that is completely different to the conventional radiation. So it's a qualitative difference between the conventional and the space radiation. So we try to understand what are the risks of these special radiations.
And to be clear, is space considered high dose or low dose environment, or does it maybe depend on the type of radiation you're looking at or whether you're in a shielded spacecraft?
All the above. You mentioned some critical point in terms of consider how we protect astronauts in space. So first, we need to define what kind of radiation we are talking about in space. So the source of radiation in space are basically three: the sun. Okay, the sun produces mainly protons, subatomic particles, a few heavy ions and electrons, but mainly protons. So the other source of radiation is the Van Allen belt. You know, Earth is protected by a magnetic field called the Van Allen belts, and there are a lot of electrons trapped in those belts. So if you cross those belts, you will be exposed at relatively high levels of electron dose and other kind of radiation. But if you go fast, the exposure time will be minimal, so the dose is not so significant. But if you go beyond the magnetic field, you go to the moon, you go to the asteroids, you go to Mars in free space, you will be exposed to cosmic rays. As I mentioned before, these particles with charge, a mass, and extremely fast can go through shielding to your body and produce damage. So what is the frequency? Well, it depends. So one of the concerns is solar particle events, or when the sun erupts and produces a kind of explosion of particles. If you are in space, you are exposed to high dose of radiation in a brief period of time. That's called a solar particle event. So if astronauts are in International Space Station, they need to go to certain places in the station to be protected, more shielding. But it's okay. Aluminum is enough to protect them and reduce the dose of radiation. But if you go deep into space, you have these galactic cosmic rays. They have basically no very good ways to protect them. There is no currently shielding enough to block completely these cosmic rays. So when we're talking about solar particle events, we can talking about high dose of radiation in acute mode. So you will receive high dose of radiation in hours or minutes. So if you're doing an EVA, extravehicular activity, in transit to the moon, and you don't have time to go back to the spacecraft, you can receive a high dose of radiation that can be lethal. Hmm. It's unprobable, but potentially can happen. If you go to the moon and you're walking on the moon and we are 10 kilometers away of your base of your lunar lander, and if you will have a few minutes to run back to protection, but potentially you can have a radiation dose by proton that can produce symptoms like a nausea, vomiting, that is no very good thing. So, but one of the main concern is when you go deep into space and you receive chronic low-dose effect or low-dose exposure of cosmic rays, what are the long-term consequences of that? So it's a mixture, depends. It's acute radiation, high doses, or chronic low-dose exposure, depending on the quality of radiation. But the quality of radiation, as you mentioned, is very important because it's like apple and oranges compared to the effect of gamma or X-rays compared with protons or cosmic rays.
Right, okay. And so how can you replicate space radiation here on Earth? How are you folks doing that with this organoid research?
Well, first of all, it's impossible. You cannot. Because when you go to space, it's a mixture of radiation that hits you all at the same time in different qualities and different probabilities. So on the ground, it's very difficult. So there are ways to simulate partially what we encounter in space. So I worked for NASA for many years, and I was in charge of supporting scientists using what is called the NASA Space Radiation Laboratory at Brookhaven National Lab in New York. And NASA have a facility in which can simulate the spectral radiations in space very close to the reality. Mm. So we use these huge particle accelerators to produce shower of particles that represent what you encounter in space. So people bring cells, animals, materials, electronics, and try to simulate what happened in space. Also, we can simulate here in CNL the secondary radiation that is really important. We mentioned before, but it's not only the primary radiation that hits you. The secondary radiation produced when a particle hit the shielding, that interaction produces secondary particles inside the spacecraft. And those particles are potentially very dangerous. These particles are neutrons. Low doses of neutrons are very important for space exploration. So CNL have unique facilities to produce neutrons. And we try to use those facilities to simulate in some way the effect of space radiation, secondary space radiation induced by neutrons. Okay, so we use particle accelerators. And we can go to use protons. When I come from Loma Linda, is the Loma Linda Proton Center, the first hospital in the world to use protons to treat cancer. Mm. We spend many years using protons to simulate the protons component of the space radiation. We do the same. We can do neutron experiments here on the Triumph in Vancouver, or we can go to Brookhaven National Lab. There are different facilities to do that. Eventually, the best experiment possible is go to space. So our long-term goals one day is we develop these techniques, apply for grants, and convince Canadian Space Agency and NASA that we can do this work on space. And actually, right now as we speak, there is a brain organ that's flying on the International Space Station.
Oh, really?
It is. This is a colleague, Dr. Muotri, Alison Muotri from San Diego. We are friends and we have a paper together. And we try to follow the same path, but we want to increase the radiation effect at International Space Station. So see if microgravity and radiation interact in a synergistic way to increase the effect or not. And that's the key, because when you go to a space, it's not only radiation. Astronauts need to deal with microgravity and radiation at the same time. So the question is, there is a synergistic effect for good or for bad? So it's a big question we want to address.
Okay. Sending like petri dishes up into space just sounds so unreal, but that's amazing.
Yeah.
So can you tell me about the timeline for this brain organoids research project?
Yeah. So this project, it will start on April this year. As I mentioned before, Dr. Sebastian and Dr. Laxo already is working on this project, in a different project. But we will bring together our efforts on April, and it is a multi-year program, and we expect at the end of the fiscal year we'll be able to produce large quantities of organoids for radiation testing and potentially in the future propose to send to the space.
That's very, very cool. And so do you have any expectations for what kind of results you're going to see?
Well, in science, you cannot predict what you get. So, but, we have some publications and literature, and actually some of my work that indicate that space radiation at low doses, or low fluence, as we call, produce morphological, biological, molecular, and functional changes. So we know that radiation, but we don't know exactly in the context of organoids what are the effects. So we expect to use different methods to detect any changes from cellular, functional, and molecular, like omics, and we'll try to put together a team concentrated and to detect changes in the function and the structure and the physiology of organoids. So we expect to see changes in several levels on that.
Okay. That's amazing. So far, you've spoken a lot about how these brain organoids could be used for space research, studying how that type of radiation can affect astronauts, but is there another way that these could be used here at CNL?
Basically, organoids is a hot topic now in basic research in all disciplines, okay? So it's not only for space research. We can be for cancer treatment. We can test new therapeutic modalities. So part of this project is to develop a normal tissue organoids and tumor organoids. So in the future, we can test, for example, the effect of alpha therapy target alpha therapy approaches and see how is the efficacy of these therapeutics using organoids. And also we can test external radiation like protons or neutrons to destroy cancer cells in vitro using organoids. So can be normal cells organoids, be in or co-culture with tumor cells. So we can create a tumor biology model that will be very useful.
Right. Okay. Could I circle back a little bit? Could you briefly explain what targeted alpha therapies are?
Yes. So we know the effect of radiation, a high dose of radiation can kill cells, in particular cancer cells. So the idea is in radiation therapy, you can use external sources of radiation. You irradiate tumor externally, as usually conventionally, or you can use radioisotopes, elements that release radiation, in particular alpha emitters that produce a very high concentrated dose of radiation at the molecular level. So imagine that you can tag that radioisotope with an antibody that will recognize only cancer cells, right? It's called targeted alpha therapy. So we use an alpha emitter to kill the cell. So in the future, actually, a lot of clinical trials and there's a global interest in this modality and using this approach to destroy cancer cells in a very specific and targeted way. So using organoids, we can test not only the efficacy to kill tumor cells, and also we can understand what is the toxicity of this approach with normal cells. So organoids will be an interesting model for that project.
For sure. That's very, very cool. Okay, well, thank you so much, Marcelo, for your time today.
It was my pleasure.
This is absolutely fascinating stuff, and I'm so excited to see what will come of this project.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be a part of the CNL organization nowadays, and thank you very much for this opportunity to tell about our project.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Free of Charge, Conversations in Canadian Nuclear Science. This podcast is produced by Canadian Nuclear Laboratories, Canada's premier nuclear science and technology organization. To learn more about us, visit us on social media or our website at www.cnl.ca.